Yeah. Boy, y'all sound good today. You feel as good as you sound when you're singing? Man, it's amazing, amazing. Hey, we're in week four of our Friendology series. It's been a lot of fun. Last week, we did something a little bit special at the end of service. If you were here last week, you might remember we had these little building cutouts and we divided you up into neighborhoods with the people that you sit around. Remember that? Okay, hopefully you got to know each other a little bit, and we want to keep that going throughout the series if we can. So what I'd like to do right now, just for about 5 minutes, all right, is to give you a chance to stand up and re-engage with each other, maybe relearn each other's names if you haven't done that yet. I understand you guys got mayors out of this. How many mayors do we have out there? All right, y'all, the mayors will be responsible. Maybe you want to exchange phone numbers, you know, with your mayor. Now, I know y'all went kind of crazy, some of y'all, like, you got mayors and deputy mayors and, you know, and sheriff's deputies and dog catchers. I mean, I don't know what y'all were doing last week, but it was fun. All right, so go ahead and take about 5 minutes right now just to kind of, if you need a question to ask, why don't you just ask, like, what's one thing you're celebrating this week? We've got students graduating from high school. We've got baptisms that have happened, people joining the church. We've got, you know, just all kinds of great things. So maybe one thing that you're celebrating this week. Go ahead and stand up and share with one another for about 5 minutes, and then we're going to jump right back in. All right? I know the easy part was getting you talking. The hard part's going to get you to not think this is a church picnic and just keep right on going. All right? You can continue these conversations after service, obviously, and just kind of do that. But let's go ahead and have a seat. We'll jump right into our message. I kind of did this on purpose, not just to get to know each other, but to show you what we talked about last week, you know, that what we do here on Sunday is pretty cool. I mean, y'all get to know each other, you know, kind of rub shoulders and, you know, kind of see each other if you sit near each other once a week. And now you're kind of, you know, you can really find some healthy friendships in this place. But it's kind of surface level, too, at the same time. I mean, we kind of come and go. We sit in rows. And as good as this is and as great as the discussion that you're having in your neighborhoods are, there's something better. There's something deeper. There's something that, you know, if you really want to just get real in life, it's beyond those healthy friendships and something that I would call authentic friendships. Friendships that get to the heart of your life, that get to the heart of the matter, authentic friendships. And we need those friendships. I believe that you want those friendships. I know I do. You know, today is Memorial Day. And as we honor and pay tribute to our servicemen and women who gave their lives for our freedom, for our nation, it's not hard to imagine that what I believe to be true is that those who serve in the military probably understand the idea of authentic friendship better than most. There's a camaraderie there. There's a brotherhood, a sister. There's something there that they understand that I think is worth mentioning today. So if you would, direct your attention to the screen and watch this video, and you'll see what I mean.
I knew I wouldn't be able to get my airplane out. There's no question about that. This was a matter of saving the life of one of our shipmates. Jesse Brown was from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. His father was a sharecropper. He had always wanted to be a pilot, not just a pilot, but a Navy pilot. There's never been a black naval aviator. Jesse and I were in the same squadron on a mission to search out and destroy anything that looked as if they could be of use to the enemy. Jesse called on his radio that he was losing power and was going to have to crash land. He hit the ground so hard that the aircraft buckled at the fuselage. Then smoke started coming out from under the cowling of the plane. I decided that I've got to pull Jesse out of the airplane. I made the decision to go in.
You decided to crash your own plane?
Oh, yeah. When I hit the ground, it was rock hard. I hurt my back, but not enough to keep me from trying to help Jesse. As I approached his airplane, his first words were, "Tom, we've got to figure out a way to get out of here." The aircraft, it pinned his knee of his right leg in between the inside of that cockpit and the control stick. He told me if anything happened to him, to let his wife, Daisy, know how much he loved her. When I got back home, I got a call from the White House. This was the first presentation of the Medal of Honor of the Korean War. You know, Daisy Brown was there, and she'd been widowed for only 4 months, but she was just a very gracious person under the circumstances. There was a lot of controversy about whether we should even be in Korea or not. I feel very strongly it was the best thing we could have done, and we all who were there take great pride that we had a part in that.
That's a great story of a healthy friendship that turned into an authentic friendship. And it's just an amazing story. And as we think about healthy friendships that go deep, healthy friendships that get real, really can make a difference in our destiny, especially when, like all of our friendships should be, they are built on the foundation of love. You know, the Bible tells us a true story of another friendship, a friendship that was also built in wartime and lasted a lifetime. It's the friendship between two young men. Their names were David and Jonathan. Now, you may have heard of David. David was famous for being, anybody want to help me out? King David, yes, King David. In fact, as we read about David, we understand that just one of the most important men in history, and in fact, his bloodline would eventually lead to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Jonathan was the son of Israel's reigning king. His name was Saul, and Prince Jonathan would become David's best friend. Their deep, authentic friendship helped save David's life. Their friendship paved the way for him to become king, and I believe even the kind of king that David would become. This authentic friendship made a difference in the destiny of one of history's most important men, David and Jonathan. We're going to take a look at their friendship. We're going to skip through some different chapters and, you know, just kind of as we go through their history together, beginning in 1 Samuel chapter 18. So go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Samuel 18. There'll be words on the screen as well, and that's where we're going to start. And as we kind of jump through their life together, we're going to see some snapshots of what made their friendship authentic. And we're going to capture ways that we can build authentic friendships in our own lives as well. 1 Samuel 18. What's happening here is that David has just killed a Philistine giant. Anybody remember his name? Goliath. Okay, pretty famous story. David has just killed Goliath, and he has become this instant war hero. All right, and King Saul is over him, and Saul's son Jonathan, this warrior prince, you know, they get together at this time, and when they do, they just hit it off. Jonathan and David hit it off together. 1 Samuel chapter 18, look at verse 1. It says, after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David. Now, the actual phrase here means that their souls were knit together. They connected in a powerful, authentic way. Now, maybe this is because, you know, David was, you know, the cool new hero. Maybe it's because God laid it on Jonathan's heart to befriend David, you know, or maybe, you know, maybe they just had this chemistry, you know, together right off the bat, because that's often how authentic friendships begin. You just kind of, man, you just get along. And look what it says here next. Jonathan loved David as himself. Love David as himself, and there it is. The foundation of friendology, love. The way Jesus loved people. The way Jesus tells us to love people. To love your neighbor as you love yourself. J- Jonathan loved David as himself. And verse 3, Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Now a covenant, you got to understand, this covenant was an agreement. It was a commitment to the other person. It probably wasn't a written contract. It was probably more of like giving your word, showing you're all in. Kind of like when I was a kid, and I don't know if y'all did this, and I don't recommend you do this now, okay? But, you know, there was one or two or three different, you know, friends. You were like best friends. You get together and form this, you know, this little cadre, you know. You'd be like, we need to be blood brothers. And we get this pin out and poke our fingers with it. Don't try this at home. And shake on it with the blood mixing in, and we would become blood. Did anybody else do that, or was I just weird? All right. Okay, y'all weird too. All right. That, I don't think that's a good idea. Anyway, or this happened too, where you were like, you were making an agreement or a friendship with somebody, and you know, you didn't want to like poke your finger and stuff, and we would just like spit in your hand and like, you want to do it? You don't care? Seriously, Bob, I'm not going to loogie in my hand. But man, that's how it worked. All right. So yeah, you spit in your hand and, you know, kind of boom, you know, put it on there. And that meant, you know, you were all in. It was a covenant, an agreement. Now what Jonathan does here, he doesn't poke his finger or spit in his hand. What he does is something I think really even more special. He makes a covenant with David to confirm his promise. Look what he does. Jonathan takes off his robe he was wearing. He gives it to David, his robe, his tunic, his sword, his bow, his belt. He just here, you're the dude, man. Like, I'm all in. This is our friendship. It's built with generosity. Authentic friendship is built with generosity. It's built with respect. And before long, I think with Jonathan's armor in hand, he becomes this successful hero. His legend is growing. People are singing his praises. David, you know, Saul, Jonathan's dad, he's getting wind of this, and he's just about had enough of it. See, David was to become a threat to his throne, and he becomes jealous. And out of jealousy, he begins to just lose his mind, and he decides that David has to die. His best friend's son needs to die. Drama. It's right there. Authentic friendship, sometimes it brings authentic drama too. Think about it, the trials. Things are going to get tough. There's going to be some hard choices to make, hard times. Authentic friendship, it happens. Pop over to the next chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 19. Verse 1, Saul tells his son Jonathan and all the attendants, you got to kill David. But Jonathan had taken a liking to David. So he warns him. He says, my father Saul is looking for a chance to kill you. Be on guard. Be on guard tomorrow morning. Go into hiding and stay there. Y'all, authentic friendships offer protection. They tell the truth. Authentic friendships see danger. They see danger coming sometimes even when we don't, and they're not afraid to warn us about the danger. That person is trouble. Man, get away from there. I'm warning you. Watch out. Watch out. That stuff will kill you. Watch out. Hanging out with that person is going to get you in trouble. You know, watch out. That could wreck your marriage. Your grades are going to go down if you start doing this stuff. Authentic friendships warn us. They tell us what's coming. They're afraid for us because they love us so much. So they warn us about danger and sin and death. Be on guard. Verse 3, I will go out, Jonathan says. I will go out and I will stand with my father in the field where you are. I'll speak to him about you. And I will tell you what I find out. I love this because Jonathan doesn't just give advice. He doesn't just give a warning. He gets involved. Jonathan is a trustworthy friend who courageously keeps his word. He takes action even when it could cost him everything that he has. David trusts him. He trusts Jonathan, and Jonathan proves trustworthy with his loyalty to David. Authentic friendships, I mean, they're going to require courage. They require action. Loyalty, and most of all, especially, they require trust. Trust. See, I think this is where casual friendships really begin to go to the next level and help to shape our destiny when these things start happening. So look at 1 Samuel chapter 20. Go ahead and look at the next chapter, 1 Samuel 20. And 1 Samuel 20 records this long, meaningful conversation between these two friends that trust each other. So they're talking together, because that's what friends do. Check out verse 4. Jonathan says to David, and you can cue the Bryan Adams song here, all right? Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it for you. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it for you. Words and action. Look at verse 9, chapter 20. Jonathan says to David, if I had the least inkling, that's a strange word. It means if I had the remotest idea that my father was determined to harm you, wouldn't I tell you? Wouldn't I tell you? Yes, you would tell, because they're talking together. Look, authentic friends are going to communicate. They speak truth to each other, and they listen to each other, especially about the most important things in life, and especially when our lives are at stake. Chapter 20, verse 16 and 17, Jonathan makes a covenant with the house of David. This covenant goes, and he stretches even further, with the house of David, saying, may the Lord call David's enemies into account. I love this, because this promise wasn't just from David, or from Jonathan to David. This was a promise to his entire household. Look, in authentic friendships, they are committed to each other's families, each other's marriages, their kids, their parents, their future. It matters to them. And time goes on. Authentic friendship takes time to build. And it does. So as we kind of look through this chapter, we see that Saul, he continues to try to kill David over and over again. And Jonathan, he continues to help David escape and over and over again. And David's life is saved again and again. And now David's in extreme danger and he's hiding out from Saul. And these two friends have to meet in secret. So you look at chapter 20, verse 41 and 42. David gets up from the south side of the stone where he was hiding from Saul. And check this out. He bows down before Jonathan. This is an act of humility. Bows down before Jonathan three times with his face to the ground. A sign of respect and thankfulness. I think he's grateful for the grace that Jonathan's showing to him. Authentic friendships, they're built on grace and humility, thankfulness, and, as you see here, mutual respect. And then they kiss each other. They kiss each other. Now, this is kind of funny, but kissing on the cheek was a normal sign of platonic brotherly love in that time and in that place. It still is in many countries, especially when you're saying hello to somebody, which they were doing, and saying goodbye to somebody, which they would very soon do here. That's what was going on. Authentic friendship, it's going to include appropriate physical touch, and I think that's cool. And scientists even tell us that we need that. Human beings need that appropriate physical affirmation. Now, thankfully, we don't kiss each other around here very much, okay? Well, husbands and wives, I hope you do, all right? So, if you want to, you know, go for it right now. You can do that. But we don't, unless you're Italian, all right, then you can count on a kiss on both cheeks, all right? That's okay. We don't kiss very much around here. But still, a high five, a fist bump, you know, a squeeze on the shoulder, affirmation. You could practice that right now if you want to. I know you will, man. Fist bump, high five, you know, squeeze. I saw y'all. Because, look, there's one thing we do well around here at CCW. It's hug. All right, y'all are really good. Some of y'all are better than others at hugging. Some of y'all hold on way too long when we're hugging as well. But that physical affirmation. But wait, it gets better. Don't just hug. Look what happens next. They wept together. David and Jonathan weep together. For some of y'all, this is worse than hugging. Crying? Like, I'm not going to go there. There's no crying in baseball. You know, you don't. But there is crying in authentic friendships. Sad tears, happy tears. And look, I've been known every now and then, you know, I get choked up about things. You know, I'm kind of, you know, that, you know, kind of emotional. I'll cry sometimes. If you're like me, okay, we're in good company. Check this out. David, the warrior, the dude that killed Goliath. See what it says there? David wept the most. David wept the most. Authentic friendship is built with humility. It takes the masks off. We can be ourselves together. It's transparent. And sometimes, along the way, there will be tears. And the best part, even better than that, check this out. Jonathan says to David, "Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord." In the name of the Lord, saying, "The Lord is witness between you and me and between your descendants and my descendants forever." Authentic friendships are best when they are built in the Lord. David and Jonathan had this relationship. If you are a follower of Jesus today, in the name of the Lord and as God is your witness, you had better be a trustworthy, humble, grace-filled friend who is known as a great friend. People should come to you and be able to trust you and give themselves to you in that kind of a relationship with all kinds of faith because you are a follower of Jesus. And that's the kind of friend that Jesus is and was. And because of this kind of friendship, this authentic friendship, we can actually gain strength in God. Check out what happens next. Chapter 23, 1 Samuel 23:15-18. David's adventures take him to Horesh in the desert of Ziph. And when he's there, he learns that Saul has come out to take his life. Saul is still going after David, still going after him. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and, catch this, helped him find strength in God. He went to him for that purpose. How did he do that? He says this, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. My father Saul is not going to lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel. You're going to be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this." And the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and then Jonathan went home, and David remains there at Horesh. In a time of confusion and fear and not knowing what's going to happen next, Jonathan says to his friend David, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." And then he speaks faith and destiny into David's life. But I love this. Authentic friends encourage each other this way. We need to be there with each other to encourage each other in the Lord. And David gained strength from God in that. And more time passes. In fact, for the rest of 1 Samuel, David continues to run and to hide from Saul. Along the way, we find out that David actually has multiple chances to kill Saul. And he doesn't. He doesn't kill Saul, who's trying to kill him, I think out of respect for God and out of respect for the throne and out of respect for his best friend, Jonathan. At the end of 1 Samuel, Israel is at war with the Philistines. Many people are lost in that war. And sadly, Jonathan, David's best friend, is killed in battle. He's killed along with his father Saul. And 2 Samuel chapter 1 actually records David's tribute song for his friend Jonathan. And I didn't plan it this way when we planned the sermon series, but as I read this, thought about it this week, especially today on Memorial Day, I think we should listen just very intently to the words of respect and thankfulness and love that David has for his friend, his fallen friend, Jonathan. 2 Samuel 1, let's start in verse 23. David says, "Saul and Jonathan, in life they were loved and admired, and in death they were not parted. They were swifter than eagles and stronger than lions. How the mighty have fallen in battle. Jonathan lies slain on your heights. I grieve for you, Jonathan. I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than even that of women. How the mighty have fallen. The weapons of war have perished." Do we have authentic friendships that affect us this way, the way that it affected David and Jonathan real friendships, friendships that are deep enough that we can be our true selves around, authentic friendships that we would miss if they were gone, the way that David was missing his friend Jonathan, or that would miss us in this way, authentic friendships that really can make a difference in our destiny. See, Jonathan and David have showed us that we can, if we build those kind of friendships. They showed us that authentic friendships are built with a want. We've got to want to. If you want this, and then with trust and grace and commitment, the power of this covenant friendship, a promise made and a promise kept. It's even the power of the marriage covenant, built with humility and courage and mutual respect. Authentic friendship built with chemistry and time and celebration and protection, communication, talking and listening to each other with truth, that go through trials together and have tears together, built with thankfulness, built with touch and transparency and generosity and loyalty and encouragement and intentionality. And authentic friendships built in the Lord. In the Lord. You see, when God is at the center of authentic friendships, he will use those friendships to make a difference in our destiny. God used Jonathan's friendship with David to make a difference in David's destiny. And many of you in this place today know exactly what that's all about, because you've got a friendship maybe you've built that is authentic, and it has literally changed the direction of your life, the destiny of your life. You were going in this direction, and now you're moving in this direction. Maybe they invited you to church or to Christ, or maybe they were involved in that group or involved in that relationship in a way that you needed them and they were there. And your life looks totally different now because of that authentic friendship. You know what? I know it's true. I absolutely know it's true. The first story that, you know, I really need to share with you, and I thought about, was 7 years ago. It's about 7 years ago. It was just after 2 o'clock in the morning when our beautiful, single, Jesus-loving daughter confessed to Lisa and I that she had made a mistake with a young man. She had come home from Bible college and told us that she was pregnant. And it wasn't an easy night. But some of you remember that night. And some of you remember that day, that week, because as a church family, your love and your grace literally shaped our destiny as a family. But what I remember most are the authentic friendships who, long before anyone else found out, took my phone call that night. We're sitting in my living room that next day, crying with us, praying with us, even laughing, and because we knew God had this. Understanding, encouraging. You were there. You were there because we built friendships with the kind of things that we talked about today. And I still see your faces. I still know your names. Some of you are here this morning. You remember that week? I remember like it was yesterday. I remember the lunches. I remember the prayers. I remember you listening. I remember your grace. I remember you keeping trust in our small group. And our small group was there with us and for us. Because this is real life stuff. And it's authentic friendship. We really never know when and how and where we're going to need them the most. But we do need them. We need them. We all do. And that's why I want this for each and every one of you so, so much. To experience authentic friendships. Doing authentic life together. Here at CCW, getting into a small group or discovering whatever your next steps might be. So that's why we've been having fun with this friendologist each week. That's why right now I want to, you know, just kind of give you some practical ideas. And to do that, I'm going to bring in a great, great friend of mine. His name is Josh McGrew. Josh is our discipleship minister. So if you would, just welcome Josh McGrew to the stage today. Our friendologist. Back
again. So we may not be the golden your heart is true, but we are the grain guys.
I can do that.
All right, so I've had a lot of time to think about this authentic friendship thing, and one of the things I've realized is our world is structured to create superficial relationships, superficial, surface-level relationships. I really worry, especially about the next generation that's coming up, because I think their exposure to social media as the primary way in which they form relationships is going to have a toll on authenticity. It's going to have a toll on what it means to have real friendships. Then I look back into the Bible, I look at the first couple chapters of Acts, and what I see is people doing life together, right? Life together. They ate together. They met together. They wept together. They studied together. They did life together. And so I could talk to you all about why you should get involved in a group, but instead what I'm going to do today is I'm going to invite up some of the guys from my group to come have this conversation on stage. Because here at CCW, you gotta understand, one of the ways that we help create authentic friendships is by being intentional about it. That's a word that Joe mentioned at the end. Yeah, sometimes chemistry is what makes relationships, but sometimes it takes a little bit of intentionality and showing up and having a conversation with a group of people. So if you're in my group, head up here. We're gonna see how authentic these friendships are, because I don't know if they're gonna actually come up or not. So. Here we go. All right, I got a couple guys. This is good. This is good. All right, so while they are headed up here, I got a couple pictures to show you, because what you need to understand, there are groups, discipleship groups, that meet all throughout the week. All throughout the week here at CCW. We have over 40 groups right now. In those groups, some of them are men's groups, some of them are women's groups, some of them are mixed groups. They meet at all different days, all different times, and all different areas. So there is a group for you out there. There is a group for you to get connected to. So I've got some questions for you guys. I'm not going to pop anything too crazy on you. But I want to start off with this, okay? The reality is that there are always barriers to getting involved in a group. There's always something that likes to jump in the way and get in the way of you being part of a group consistently. So let me ask you, what were some of the barriers to you getting involved in a group?
Not enough time, excuses.
Excuses, yeah.
I'd say attacks from Satan. You know, he likes to just, you know, plant these thoughts of just like, you know, oh my, I don't want to leave my family. I don't have time. My business is too important. But, you know, through us going to small groups is what made me a better husband, a better father. So if I didn't make that time, make that priority, me being at home wouldn't have mattered anyways, because I would have been just a mediocre dad. Mediocre husband. So these small groups have really helped me grow in that area.
Okay. Any other barriers you guys can think of?
Yes. Superficiality. You started by talking about superficial, you know, relationships. When I'm new here, and so when you're new, you come in and you meet people like we did just a few minutes ago, and you can be real general and say, hey, you know, my name's Brent. What's your name? And it stays right there at face level. But when you start to dig in and find out things about people and find out that they're real, see that they have hurts, see that they're broken, you know, you're forced to get to know people. You're forced to interact on a deeper level. And so that's one barrier that kept me from getting into one of these groups, is because there's a certain comfort in superficiality.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hope you guys understand that. You can show up on Sunday week after week after week, and it doesn't mean you're going to form authentic friendships, okay? And that's what Brent's saying here. It's very easy to come here and be just another face in the crowd. So let me ask you, what actually got you into a group? How do you actually join a group?
Dewey.
Kind of an amazing story, really. Like, I showed up here early for church on Sunday morning and was waiting for my family in the foyer. And I'm like, oh, I'll take a seat and wait. And the sun was just shining so bright in, it was like blinding me, and I'm like, all right, I gotta get up and move. So I walked over and seen Josh, and I was like, hey, what's going on, man? And he's like, what are you doing on Tuesdays? So.
And I want to point out, so I invited Dewey to my group. By the end of that service, he had invited somebody else to go to the group as well, you know? So that's how group relationships are formed. And you guys think of any other ways you got involved in the group?
I was ambushed. There must have been like 8 or 9 group leaders. I didn't know this at the time, but they were like, new guy. And yeah.
I'd have to say the Holy Spirit really put it on my heart to grow deeper in my relationship with my community here, because like you said, in dark times, we need to have some people in our pocket that we can call or reach out to. So just the authentic friendships has, you know, been the main goal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you guys have all been in a group. We've been hanging out for the last 5 months or so together, at least, right? And so let me ask you, in that time, how have you seen yourself grow as a result of being connected to those relationships?
I feel like I've been more involved with the Holy Spirit inside of me, and I feel like I've gotten better with my home life because I have a group of guys that'll pray for me, and I know they're praying for me to be a better person because we're all broken. I know I even got another group. I know two of them are up there, Rich and Becky. And so I'm in more than just one group, and I know everybody's praying for me and my family and the type of person I am and the type of person I want to be. And it helps me get closer to God that way and my journey with Jesus.
Absolutely. All right. How else have you guys seen grow in your life?
I can tell you that I haven't been here very long, and I came here to this church. I was invited by a friend that I met, and when I came here, I was broken. I was hurting on a level that I can't even begin to describe, and it's actually hard to talk about it, but I had lost my wife, my children, my job. I eventually lost my vehicle and some of my health. I had an injury, and so the superficiality that Josh started with, that was an easy and a comfortable place for me. But I feel that God pushed me and led me into a small group setting, and I can tell you that what he has done through that small group setting is he has made me feel like there is a Jonathan out there for me. He has shown me that just because other people might go to the other side of the road and bypass you, that sometimes there's a friend that'll come to your side and pick you up out of the ditch. You know, I have received so much love and encouragement and support from the people of this church that I'm amazed. Like, I still wake up each day and I'm like, wow. There are people in my group who just heard my prayers, and when I would cry or when I would be upset about something, I would say, well, you know, I didn't have a vehicle. I can't get around. And so without being asked, someone gave me a vehicle to drive temporarily until I can get mine fixed. There's a man in this church that was in our group, and he saw that I was having a hard time getting up, you know, and I asked for prayer. I said, please pray for my back. I hurt it really bad trying to help someone move a couch, and it's not getting better. Well, that man later approached me and said, would you let me take you to my doctor tomorrow? And so this man took me to his doctor and paid for me to have treatment, and I'm feeling a lot better. Please pray, but I can't even begin to explain to you how beneficial it has been for me with my relationship with God, learning, growing, the comfort that I have from friends and having friendship, what I've learned about friendology from the church and from the small group. So I would encourage everybody here that if you're not in a small group, your relationship with the people around you a lot of times is just superficial. You need to get plugged in if you really want to grow and work on your relationship with your friends, your family, and the Lord.
Yeah. Now, Dustin actually leads us into this last question that I have for you guys is, what reason would you give to people right now, like if you're trying to let them know this is why you should be in the group, why should they be in the group? Dustin already answered that. What about the rest of you guys? What would you tell everybody else about why they should be involved in the group?
Well, for me personally, it seems like I always got it all together, and I know the answer to everything. I minister a lot at my barbershop, and I want to praise God because we just received best barbershop in Hernando County. But through before Jesus, we were the worst barbershop in Hernando County. You guys know what I'm talking about. So through going to these classes or these groups helped me grow because, like I said, I minister a lot, so it seems like I always have the right answer. But going to these groups was able for me to be transparent. I was able to share what was going on in my life, and that helped me grow so that I could be more prepared for others. And then, you know, actually having prayer requests, you know, we start off with our highs and lows of the week, what we go through, and then prayer requests. And then the challenge I like the most is we have all our brothers keep us accountable for things that we need to change in our life. So throughout the week, I know I got a brother praying for me, you know, giving me a text message or encouraging call to be a better man. So I think that's, you know,
accountability.
Absolutely. So any of you guys have anything to add? Why should people be involved in the group?
Covered it pretty well, yeah.
All right, so thank you for coming up here and also for being part of my group. I love hanging out with you. Now, all of you should be involved in the group. All of you should be involved in the group. Don't let superficial Christianity be your only source of relationship, okay? Dig deeper, get involved in the group. If you want to do that, there's three ways I want to suggest here. First of all, any group leaders out there, could you stand up real quick? If you're leading one of the discipleship groups here at CCW, you could see these people. Come and talk to any of them and say, hey, let me know more about your group. Yeah, absolutely. As Phil pointed out earlier, there are six marriage groups that are going to be starting right at the beginning of the summer. So if you're interested in digging deeper in with your spouse into what marriage looks like, you could talk to Phil about what that getting connected to one of those groups. The second way you can is out at the Next Step station. Come by, talk to one of us, and we'll actually have Next Step coaches who will help you discover a group that works for you. Third way is this. You can actually jump on any web browser on your phone or on the internet. All you do is you type in ccwildwood.com, head over to our website. Up in the top right, there is a button that says grow. You're going to click on that, go on down to disciple or join a group. Click on join a group. Once you go in there, there's all kinds of options. You can choose men's groups, women's groups, mixed groups. You can pick the day of the week that you're looking for a group on. All of that sort of stuff. It's going to filter it for you and pop up all the groups that work. And then you can either register for the group just by putting your name or email. And then the other option is if you just want to know more about the group, you can actually email the group leader and they'll get back in touch with you and let you know what their group's all about. Either way, however you go about this, I'm going to encourage you guys, don't walk out without getting connected. Don't walk out without getting involved in a group. It's so important to your continued growth as a Christ follower. So, you want to be authentic? Join a group. Have you ever heard this quote? If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Okay? And that's what I hope for and pray for all of you today. We're going to pray, and then you guys are released. But like I said, don't walk out without talking to me, one of the coaches, one of the group leaders, about getting involved in the group. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this church community, for the desire it has to actually grow in relationship with you and with one another. And I just pray that we take the step that we need to, Father, to dig deeper into relationship. Help us not to be okay with the comfortable, but instead to seek authentic, to seek transparent, to seek relationships that help us to grow to be the people that you designed us to be. We love you, Father, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.